The need of integrity. If the canvasser pursues a wrong course, if he utters falsehood or practices deception, he loses his own self-respect. He may not be conscious that God sees him, and is acquainted with every business transaction, that holy angels are weighing his motives and listening to his words, and that his reward will be according to his works. But even if it were possible to conceal his wrongdoing from both human and divine inspection, his own knowledge of the sin is degrading to mind and character. One act does not determine the character, but it breaks down the barrier, and the next temptation is more readily entertained, until finally a habit of prevarication and dishonesty in business is formed, and the man cannot be trusted. In the family and in the church there are too many who make little account of glaring inconsistencies. There are young men who appear what they are not. They seem honest and true, but they are like whited sepulchres, fair without, but full of corruption within. The heart is spotted, stained with sin, thus the record stands in the heavenly courts. A process has been going on in the mind that has made them callous, past feeling. But if their characters, weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, are pronounced wanting in the great day of God, it will be a calamity that they do not now comprehend. Truth, precious, untarnished truth, is to be a part of the character. Whatever way is chosen, the path of life is beset with perils. If the workers in any branch of the cause become careless and inattentive to their eternal interests, they are meeting with great loss. The tempter will find access to them. He will spread nets for their feet, and will lead them in uncertain paths. Those only are safe whose hearts are garrisoned with pure principles. Like David, they will pray, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." A constant battle must be kept up with the selfishness and corruption of the human heart. Often the wicked seem to be prospered in their way, but those who forget God, even for an hour or a moment, are in a dangerous path. They may not realize its perils, but ere they are aware, habit, like an iron band, holds them in subjection to the evil with which they have tampered. God despises their course, and unless they turn from their evil ways, his blessing cannot attend them. Life and death are set before every worker, and the strongest motives are presented to induce them to choose life by obedience to God's law. I have seen that some young men undertake this work without having a sense of its importance, and without connecting themselves with heaven. They place themselves in the way of temptation to show their bravery. They laugh at the folly of others. They boast that they know the right way, they know how to conduct themselves. How easily they can resist temptation. How vain to think of their falling. But they make not God their defense. Satan has an insidious snare prepared for them, and they become the sport of fools. One safeguard removed from the conscience, the indulgence of one evil habit, a single neglect of the high claims of duty, may be the beginning of a course of deception that will pass you into the ranks of those who are serving Satan, while you are all the time professing to love God and to be sacrificing for his cause. A moment of thoughtlessness, a single misstep, may turn the whole current of your life in the wrong direction. No one whose hands are defiled with sin, or whose heart is not right with God, should have any part in the work of the canvasser or the colporteur, for such persons will surely dishonor the cause of truth. Those who are workers in the missionary field need God to guide them. They should be careful to start right, and then press quietly and firmly on in the path of rectitude. They should be decided, for Satan is determined and persevering in his efforts for their overthrow. In this work there will be many temptations that will test whatever integrity and strength of religious principles and habits young men have acquired. The whole period of life is a brief season of trial. Those who engage in a work so important as the canvassing work must constantly guard self, lest Satan obtain the advantage. A multitude of petty temptations will assail the one whom the Lord is testing, and if he stands firm as a rock to principle, it is because he makes the Lord God his trust every moment. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Let the sincere cry of the soul be, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The work is halting because gospel principles are disregarded by so many who claim to be following Christ. Some have brought themselves and their families into most distressing circumstances through poor management in book canvassing. They have run in debt, and have borrowed money of men not of our faith. With the work of scattering our publications and advocating the truth, some have mingled scheming, buying and selling. This makes a bad combination. As they labor to obtain advantage for themselves, they are allured by the prospect of buying things for less and selling them for more than their value. Therefore, the world regards them as sharpers, men who will gain advantage for themselves without considering the case of others. They do not keep the commandments of God, for they do not love their neighbor as themselves. Some have engaged in canvassing for other books than those bearing on present truth. Because they profess to be Christians, they were trusted. Their claim to be Seventh-day Adventist led their employers to put confidence in them, and it was not thought necessary to place them under restrictions. Some had a very low standard of righteousness and honesty, and they took advantage of this confidence. They squandered the money taken for books, money that belonged to their employers. They made false statements, and some even committed theft, forgery, and robbery. Several of those who did this thought it a good opportunity, and laughed with one another over the matter. But every one of these dishonest transactions is registered in the books of heaven, and there it will remain until the judgment, unless by confession, repentance, and restitution, the guilty one shall ask God to write pardon against his name. In the day of judgment many will be found wanting. They have been tested and proved by God and have been found unworthy of eternal life. God could not trust them in heaven. The decision will be made for eternity. He who is not faithful in that which is least cannot be trusted with greater responsibilities. All will be judged by their works, for these have determined their character. Is it a paying business to be dishonest? Never, for even should there be no detection in probationary time, everything will be laid open in the day of final reckoning. Laziness and indolence are not the fruit borne upon the Christian tree. No soul can practice prevarication or dishonesty in handling the Lord's goods, and stand guiltless before God. All who do this are in action denying Christ. While they profess to keep the commandments of God, and claim to teach them, they fail to maintain the principles of God's law. The Lord's goods should be handled with faithfulness. The Lord has entrusted men with life and health and reasoning powers. He has given them physical and mental strength to be exercised, and should not these gifts be faithfully and diligently employed to His name's glory? Have our brethren considered that they must give an account for all the talents placed in their possession? Have they traded wisely with their Lord's goods, or have they spent His substance recklessly, and are they written in heaven as unfaithful servants? Many are spending their Lord's money in riotous enjoyment, so-called. They are not gaining an experience in self-denial, but are spending money on vanities, and are failing to bear the cross after Jesus. Many who were privileged with precious, God-given opportunities, have wasted their lives, and are now found in suffering and want. God calls for decided improvement to be made in the various branches of the work. The business done in connection with the cause of God must be marked with greater precision and exactness. There has not been firm, decided effort to bring about essential reform.